Welcome to Oversharing with the Overbees. I'm Joe.
And I'm Matt.
And each week you can tune in to hear us respond to your voicemails, go in depth on our lives as content creators, and hopefully leave you feeling even better than we found you.
With that being said, let's get to oversharing.
And I'm putting socks on to open the podcast today.
Ooh.
But they're kind of compression socks, so it's taking more effort than I thought I'd be able to like nonchalantly slip them on. So I was like, yeah, go ahead, let's roll.
It's the right time to do it.
It's not feeling nonchalant.
Yeah.
Did you get any messages about my ASMR opening my can on the last episode?
I haven't. I can't say I've looked for that.
When was the last time you read a DM? When was the last time you read an email not live on the podcast? When
I've read emails more recently than DMs.
Okay. You look tan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been thinking it all day.
Oh. I mowed yesterday. It was overcast. I don't think it's from that.
Your face is looking a little
flushed.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just like.
No, but you're like looking overall bronze with a little flush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm both flushed and bronze.
Hey, everybody loves it. No, literally no one said anything to me about this, but I'm going to do it again.
Amazing. Amazing stuff.
I do not participate in ASMR.
I've barely watched anything. I don't know that I have ever watched an ASMR video.
I think
it makes me uncomfortable.
It makes me do you think that that's like a thing?
I think it does one or the other.
Oh, really? Okay, it's either like really satisfying or really ugh.
Yeah, well, I don't think if it's not satisfying, I'm not sure what you're watching it for. You know, like if you're not getting the positive out of it, unless it's just like a background deal.
But there are a lot of things I feel neutral about.
Yeah, I don't feel like I've ever heard anyone be neutral about ASMR.
Oh.
Or like if they are, it's indifferent. Like they haven't really been exposed to it.
Okay.
I might fall into that camp, to be quite honest. Twite. To be twite honest.
To be twite honest. I might roll right into that camp. I don't like it.
Okay.
I'll have to
watch some and see how I really feel about it. Because
I especially don't like the ones with mouths.
Well, you probably have misophonia.
Yeah, I really hate it.
Yeah. You can't handle our dogs just being around.
No, it's gross. It really gets me.
I'm not going to tell you mouth noises are like nice.
Right?
But they don't bother me the way they bother you. Especially from the dogs, because I'm like, they're dogs. That's what they're going to do.
Oh, it really gets me. Oh, it can just get me. I don't get dysregulated very easily, but that's one that really sets me off.
In 5 seconds, you're like, I'm going to throw this dog.
Okay. I'm trying to think of anything else that's that way. Mouth noises. I don't know that I really have much else other than that.
That's your big one for sure. I'm trying to think if there's anything like food related.
Not really. I mix a lot of weird foods together
and you do
a lot of weird things.
Yeah.
So our nanny today pointed it out to me. She's like, that's really
gross.
No, she said, that's really interesting. And I said, that was a really nice way of saying that.
Yes. Yeah. That is a nice way of saying that.
Yeah. I don't know. So
I went in a drove to Kansas City already today. So
yeah.
Big productive day for me.
Matt's had a big day.
I'm running on 12 hours of being awake, and we've still
feelings
got
feelings doctor.
Yeah.
We've been to bad mom, actually mean mom. Okay, let's
bad
go ahead.
Mean mom. Let's
go ahead
out.
And just start there with mean mom of the week. Is I have had a lot of work to get done today. I've been very, very busy, and Matt drove to Kansas City, and so we have had our wonderful sitter with our kids today. And you were about to get home from KC, and then you and I had to be at an appointment at 2. Mm-hmm. And G asked me, she said, Mama, will you at least play with me until you and Daddy have to go to the feelings doctor? And I said, oh, stabbed through the heart. All I want to do is play with you. And I couldn't, and I had to be mean, Mom. I had to be like, I can't.
I don't know if that's the meanest, but
yeah. She asked me so nicely.
Yeah, that's we've been working on asking nicely.
She asked
the toddler
so
demands
nice.
Really,
yeah,
are abrasive. I don't think they're meant that way, but a lot of times it's like, why didn't you do this thing that I haven't even asked you for yet? And so we're trying to get at least a please on the end of that.
Yeah.
So work in progress, but sounds like she nailed it here.
Yeah, she nailed it. It made me want to cry.
I feel like I had a bad dad thing, but it's not coming to mind.
Oh no.
Oh no.
No one's going to know what a bad dad you are.
Yeah.
Everybody's just going to think you're fantastic.
Idiots.
No, I don't have anything for you.
Oh man.
Like I don't have anything that I've cataloged.
No, we've been doing pretty decent.
Like we always say when we don't have a mean mom or a bad dad.
Perfect week.
Perfect week.
Yep.
We're nailing it. Perfect parents.
Yeah, she's really been wanting a lot of help or wanting to help me with things that she's not super capable of helping with.
Well.
But only one way to get there, I guess. So I guess we'll keep practicing.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
What? How was your drive? Tell everybody why you drove to Kansas City.
So that refrigerator that, you know, I ordered in a year and a half after I was supposed to order it, they would only ship it to Kansas City because I was buying it through some random seller on Amazon. And they had limited areas they would ship to. Arkansas was not one of those areas. Kansas City was one of those areas. And I was like, I know a guy in Kansas City that's probably cool if I ship him a fridge.
I know a guy. It's Matt's one of his best friends.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, hey, heads up, can I ship a fridge to you? And he's like, I guess so. How big is it? And it's like a column fridge, so it's not too bad. So I did. And that was in November?
It was way
December?
Too long.
December?
It was downright disrespectful. That's all I can say.
It was definitely before Christmas, but it might have been before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I would say once every 10 days have been going, when are you going to get that fridge out of Chris's garage? Because I felt really bad. Like when people leave stuff at our house, it's no big deal. So we purchased the home that we live in and it's on 3 acres.
Yeah.
But not only that, it came with a bunch of outbuildings. So we have like out of house storage.
Yes.
So a couple of times friends have asked if they could keep things over here for the time being rather than rent a storage unit or things like that.
When we get bad storms, our neighbor parks one of their cars that they don't have room for.
We don't keep much stuff in these because we don't need to be acquiring stuff.
We're trying to get rid of stuff. Keep all of our stuff out there, but it means we would never go through it. And then it would just be lost to time. And the stuff we did want to keep out there, we'd never be able to find. So
correct.
We're trying to be intentional with our vast amounts of storage.
Anyway, I felt bad that you took up Chris's garage because Chris lives in like a neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a 2-car garage and I think at least 3 cars.
That's kind of
funny. He's got his car. He's got his wife's car. And he's got his Project Miata still. So
that's a lot of cars.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we had 3 cars, but we had enough garages. And now we only have 2 cars. So
yeah, we didn't have 3 cars for long. And we weren't supposed to have 3 cars.
No, no. An opportunity to get a 3rd car just presented itself. So we...
No, that's not what happened.
No?
That's how you see it. You see it as an opportunity to get a 3rd car presented itself.
We didn't want to get a 3rd car.
I saw it as a car to replace your teeny tiny car that didn't fit anybody in presented itself. So we purchased that with intention of your car being sold.
Okay.
So that's not...
I guess I didn't understand the intent to sell mine, but I was fine with selling it. I just didn't understand the process, the vision.
Oh, okay. Because to me, that's not purchasing a 3rd car. That's replacing a car.
It was just
taking a long time to sell it.
Yeah. I just wasn't very focused on selling it, I guess.
Yeah.
And then the opportunity presented itself.
Right. It always works out.
Yeah. Never hurts.
You're so privileged.
I am. That's just true. That's a fact.
Matt thought that he was buying a 3rd car.
No, I didn't. I really didn't think it was a 3rd car. I know we got it because it had more room for, you know, car seats and whatnot.
Yeah.
Which made sense. Still does. That's why we got it.
Cracking me up.
Oh. No, so I drove to Kansas City. I woke up at 4:30 this morning because we had a 2 o'clock appointment back at home. And I guess we just decided this week, like, this is the week that it's happening. We are getting this fridge. And so...
I finally pushed it. What?
Oh, okay. I don't feel like you pushed that hard.
Oh, you don't?
No?
I do.
I feel like you were just like, this is the week we're going to get it.
Yeah.
Was it more, am I just forgetting that you were?
No, but that's me pushing is saying we're doing this week.
Oh, okay.
I like something that I've really known. Well, you know what? We'll go back to it. Finish the story about the fridge.
Anyway, this was the best day that I could go up and get it, but we did have stuff in the afternoon. So I got up at 4:30, hit the road, got up there, loaded the fridge, which was a little bit adventurous. We had to cut the box apart a little bit to get it in the car. Loaded it up, drove home, and
unloaded it.
And now we're just, it's still sitting out in the pantry. I'm excited to get it in place, but by the time this goes up, it'll be in place.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it came with a water line so we can hook up the water to it.
We don't need to hook. Why do we need to hook up water to it?
I don't know. Ice, water. No, you don't want either of those?
No.
There's a water hook up there.
Yeah, I know. I don't think we need to do that.
Okay.
Because we don't need ice out of it. I mean, we can. It's fine. Might as well.
We'll look into it. TBD.
You're right. I was acting very like, why would we do that? Like,
would never.
No, I don't. I didn't necessarily mean that. I was more thinking that everybody says that the Samsung ice makers break.
Oh.
And so I was like, why even hook it up? But then I'm like, it's brand new. We could.
I don't know if it even makes. I haven't even looked if it makes ice.
I don't know.
We literally just got it to be a fridge.
But you know how just Samsung across the board, their ice makers are garbage.
Yeah, we have a great Samsung fridge that has a broken ice maker. That's true.
I thought it made ice again. No?
No.
I thought when we moved it fixed it. Because it just freezes up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Not just, it shouldn't do that.
Like it freezes up the internal mechanism. And then there's ways to fix it. It's basically that plastic expands and contracts when it gets cold. Well, it contracts. And so it lets air seep into an area it shouldn't. And then moisture from the air gets frozen.
Ooh. And
accumulates.
Science lessons with Matt. It's going to be a new segment.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Science of
engineering.
The week.
Engineering of the week.
Yeah. And so some people fix it by like putting a silicone bead on whatever seam. And then that will expand and prevent air intrusion.
Brilliant.
Yeah. It's good stuff. Refrigeration, man. It's
fascinating, really. Yeah. It makes no sense to me. My brain, Matt has tried to explain refrigeration to me.
Yeah.
Quite a few times
now. The Carnot cycle.
Yeah.
Expansion.
It's
compression.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy.
Like, how does it work? To me, like, I don't know.
Is that what we're doing? Are we talking about refrigeration?
Yeah, give me a little.
Just a taste?
Yeah, a taste.
So you've got a refrigerant.
A fluid.
Yeah, it's a fluid / gas. I mean.
Oh, okay.
That is good for refrigeration. I'm sure there's a better definition than that. There has to be.
Yeah, I'm going to say that was one of the worst definitions you've ever given.
Anyway.
Refrigerant. It is a liquid that's good for refrigeration.
That's what you need to know.
Yeah,
Anyway, you've got a compressor. You've got an expansion valve. And so when you compress it, let me think here.
What are you compressing?
The fluid.
Got it.
So you run it through the valve, it expands, and I think, I don't want to say this backwards. I see I'm a very bad chemical engineer for not being able to like do this off the top of my head or remember it well. But does it absorb heat? Does it pull heat in?
No idea.
Yeah.
What I wanted to know is like, we're slowing things down, right?
Slowing what down?
I don't know. Isn't it when it's cold, it slows down?
Oh, yeah.
And when it's hot, molecules. It's going really fast.
Yeah, the atoms and whatnot.
And that's why,
moves around more, moves around less when it's cold.
Yeah.
Moves around more when it's energized. Yeah. Well, this is more that you're like shooting it through a tiny orifice and then it expands. And then does it make it colder? I think so. This is bad. I really should have like researched this.
Sorry, I didn't know I was going to make you do a bit on refrigeration.
I didn't either, and that's why I'm doing a really bad job of explaining refrigeration.
Well, anyway, it fascinates me. Honestly, I'll never forget it. Multiple of Matt's really good friends are electrical engineers, and I'll never forget that when we were a couple years into our 20s, we were sitting having a conversation about electrical engineering, and they were going on and on about the absolute incredibleness of the Apple block. Like that little block.
Oh,
that
they're charging blocks, yeah.
Yeah, they were like that it's such an engineering feat, and like when it came out, it was such an accomplishment in what it did and all that.
Yeah.
And it was, so now, even though I have no idea why, I have no like ability to actually appreciate the technology. Every time I look at my little block, I'm like, good job, buddy.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it's just that they do a really good job of like voltage regulation and,
Well, it was something about the size too, I thought. Well,
yeah, to do it in a small form factor, especially as early as they did it, was difficult. Like, a lot of people make small charging blocks now that do.
Right. Well, because once it's been done, it's been done. That was almost 10 years ago when we were having that conversation.
And so back in the day, it was really, really impressive. And it still is. But now more people do it.
Right. That's what happens.
Yeah.
You do something really impressive and then other people know how to do it.
And they steal it.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the circle of life.
The circle of life.
The four. Here's the refrigeration cycle. Okay. At the start of the thermodynamic cycle, the refrigerant enters the compressor as a low-pressure, low-temperature vapor. The pressure is increased by the compressor, squeezes it down, and then it leaves at a higher temperature and a higher pressure, and then that passes through the condenser, which is just like a big coil, and then the condenser pulls the heat out of the gas, and it condenses into a liquid, and so now it's a high-pressure liquid. And then it shoots through the expansion valve. And so that sprays it out. And then now the pressure's a lot lower. And so the temperature drops. And then the cold mixture goes through the evaporator. And that's where it pulls in heat from the fridge.
Okay, you've lost me.
Okay.
You know how generally you explain things in a way that like a dum-dum can understand them?
Yeah.
Now you're just reading things for engineers. Yeah. That doesn't mean anything.
Okay. Well,
I needed it to be dum-dum version. Like, I needed it to be like, takes hot, makes cold by making small.
Got it. Okay. So, let's start out. In your refrigerator, there's coils with the refrigerant in there.
In the coil.
Yes. It's all in the coils.
Okay. What's a coil? Like,
the tubes in the back of your fridge.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. They run through there. Anyway, so when it's going through there, it is a cold gas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's pulling heat out of the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes the gas warmer. So it's a low pressure, but, you know, warm.
Oh, brilliant. So it's using heat it's pulling out of the fridge and then also turning that into cold to keep the fridge cold?
Yeah, it cycles around.
Fascinating.
Yeah, so it makes the gas, its gas is warm.
I could never come up with that.
Then they compress it down into hot. Then they pass it through the condenser. It gets...
I would still be cutting ice and like having to move it.
Yeah, that technology worked.
It did.
It was wetter.
And it was a lot more effort.
Yes. Yeah. There was like ice farms and you had to transport ice, which is not the easiest.
An ice farm's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they still do that in places?
Probably. I mean, I'm sure there's places where they use ice for, I'm thinking like, you know.
Canada. No?
I mean, not generally in Canada, but like, I'm thinking more remote areas.
Oh, where they actually use... Okay, no. I didn't mean like that they rely on ice farms. I meant like, do you think they still have ice operational farms? Ice farms for anything?
So. Maybe our Canadians could tell us. Are you guys farming ice up there?
Well, like...
If you're an ice farmer, call in. Leave us a voicemail. Talk to us about ice farming. You might be a time traveler, though.
I don't know.
Because I don't think it still happens.
Okay.
Not on a like... large scale. I don't think ice boxes are still a functioning commodity. Otherwise, I feel like you'd see them, like new fancy ones.
Yeah, probably.
Or at least like refurbished old ones that aren't being used for furniture. Because lots of people have those.
Yeah, we have one of those.
Yeah. My parents have one. They're a solid piece of furniture. I mean, mainly because they were...
meant to hold ice.
Built to hold water and ice, which is not great for wood.
Yeah.
Usually. So...
Huh. Well, this has been just absolutely
riveting intro.
Is anybody still listening?
If you are, call in. Leave us a voicemail, email.
Word of the week. Word of the week.
You ready to learn a word?
Refrigerant This is what it is.
I'm going to define refrigerant after this. I'm just going to Google it, but that's not the word of the week.
Okay.
The word of the week is blithe.
Wait, blithe.
Blithe.
Oh, I just realized I don't know what that means. I was
thinking. But you've seen it.
Well, I was thinking I know what that means.
Mary J. Blithe? No, I was joking.
No, I was thinking of Blytheville. Is that what it's called?
Maybe.
I think there's a town in Arkansas called Blytheville, but that might be entirely wrong.
There's somewhere. Missouri or Arkansas. One of the two has one.
Okay.
So, blithe. Showing a casual and cheerful indifference, considered to be callous or improper. So, like, kind of cheerfully ignorant.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Can you use it in a sentence? A lot of things are done
blithely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can you use it to describe someone?
Maybe someone runs through a light, but just like cheerfully ignoring like the light and just doing their thing, jamming out maybe to some music. They're blithely.
Ran that red light?
Disregarding the...
Does blithely running that red light work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or here, that's actually really close to the example they have here. A blithe disregard for the rules of the road.
Mm.
That would be an example of that.
Yeah. Okay.
So also...
A blithe disregard of the red light.
Bonus word of the week, refrigerant.
The thing is, I know what it means. I just don't know what it is.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But go ahead and give us a definition.
Oh, it turns out I nailed it.
oh, boy.
The definition is a substance used for refrigeration. So...
Wow. Okay. You did absolutely annihilate that definition. And I repeated the definition and made fun of you. So who's the real dum-dum now? Nobody ever questioned who the dum-dum was.
Okay. Here's a better, what is refrigerant in simple words? That's what people ask.
Okay.
A fluid capable of changes of phase at low temperatures.
So like, what would be an example of that? What do they use?
Well, so like ice, water is... kind of a refrigerant or solid carbon dioxide. So
carbon dioxide,
low temperature, it changes phase. It doesn't have to be.
What's the chemical that they typically like what that they use in, or is it a mix?
They're like R410 and
R134.
They're like different.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll drop the refrigeration conversation.
This is going to be I think that's our main topic today.
How do refrigerators conversation. Work? Anyway,
but like metal, not a refrigerant. It takes a very high temperature to change phase.
That's kinda, I hear you. Okay, for Greg's Reads of the Week this week, I'm pretty excited. He has been sending us some articles.
Some bangers. So Greg's your dad. He reads news. He sends us news, and then we rate that news on this podcast, how much anxiety the article titles give us.
And you know what? Greg really came in with some jokes this week. And
is he doing bits now?
He's doing bits, or I don't know if he's doing bits on purpose. I think he is. But I thought this was hysterical. So article number one, the health benefits of wearing shoes in the house.
Oh, that was definitely in response to last week's episode. If there's any doubt that he listens to the podcast, that settles it. What are the health benefits, by the way?
I don't know. Productivity. I
mean, zero anxiety, because I do it, and that makes me better, I guess.
Right. Okay, we're going to go ahead and jump to Article 2 without much discussion, because headline number 2 is, the gross science explaining why you should take your shoes off while indoors.
Oh my gosh, okay. Well, let's go ahead and give that a 3 out of 5, because I don't do that very often.
It made me giggle. Dad was talking about pretty much... that there's scientific reason to and not to wear shoes along with everything else. So no matter what your thought is, the nice part about this day and age, and also the worst part, is you can support your stance on pretty much anything.
That's true. That's how news works. Now, whether it's
true or not, we'll see.
I mean, really, probably the optimal move is like house shoes.
That's what,
like dedicated house shoes.
Yeah, that's what it said. And because it said that, especially if you have hard floors, which we do where we live, we're on a slab foundation. Home. And so it is concrete with wood floor laid over it. And it is hard. It has no give whatsoever.
And it sounds silly. Like, I don't know that, like, if you haven't experienced standing on a hard floor for a long period of time, like, why does that feel different than like normal ground? But it definitely does. Your body's not really built to like stand on a super hard surface.
I can't tell the difference at all.
Really?
Yeah. And so
I'm not wearing better shoes. Do you just have,
are you
built different?
You have I'm always barefoot.
Maybe you just have like crazy strong feet and I've got little baby feet.
I don't think that's the case.
Weak little baby feet, Matt.
No, I don't think that's the case. I think I genuinely, like if I paid attention to it, maybe I could tell a difference. Mm. I think I just have treated my body so poorly for so long.
You don't know if you feel bad from standing or just from life.
Yeah.
Got it.
You know?
Got it. Oh. It just kind of blends into the rest of your pain and existence.
Exactly.
Cool. That sounds fun.
That's not what I was trying to insinuate, but I might
have taken it a little far. Is that what you're getting at?
For sure.
Oh, okay. I do that sometimes.
Oh, okay. Our last article from Greg this week is indebted millennials will soon inherit a gold rush of wealth. Seven ways they can manage it.
Ugh. I feel differently about two different sides of that.
Yeah,
and still like a three.
I think from what I've read, it doesn't seem like that's really actually true.
Are they planning on dying soon? Like,
the exact line Dad said is, "We don't plan on going anywhere anytime soon." But this is a great article to understand as you do your own trust and will planning.
Oh,
okay. So really, well, it's
about ratchets the anxiety right back up.
It's about when we die. Really,
four or five? I don't know. It's about
I'll
us
give it like
dying.
A 3 out of 5.
It's about us managing stuff.
I
indebtedness. Don't love any of that.
From what I've read, it seems like millennials are actually not going to inherit that much.
Yeah.
Most. I've been reading and
hopefully their older parents home. And that's what they're going to get.
Yeah, but it from most of what I've read, because there's so little elder care and it's so expensive, most...
it's going to get all burned up.
It was smart to get into elder care, I guess. Not working it, being a big gun and just absolutely taking advantage.
Owning elder care solutions. That's where the money's at. Yeah. Awesome. Well, if you want to do that, guys, that's a hot market.
I feel like that...
It's only getting hotter.
You know, I don't feel like maybe...
That's
life.
Like being like owning large apartment complexes, guys. That's where it's at. Owning significant amounts of land.
But don't you think that like in the 70s, 80s, 90s, it was just so different in that there were a lot of different ways to break into some of those. And now you can't.
They're like, do you have access to $10 million today?
It's like, great. Well, then we can make you rich. And it's great. Like, wait
you
a second.
You can turn that 10 into 40.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have that? Oh, that's a bummer. Too bad.
Too bad. You can't play. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's not what he was getting at.
Or you can borrow it at like 10% interest if you'd really like to.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, guys. Yeah, we don't talk economics here.
No.
It's sad.
It is sad. Ugh.
For the youths.
For the youths. You're ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness. I just got a notification from our old neighborhood.
Yeah.
The library is closed indefinitely due to fire. What? Did our library burn? Oh, well, they're making jokes on their main page here, guys. Help us rekindle the magic at your Fayetteville Public Library. Oh, yeah, there's a GoFundMe here for...
Yeah, but it says Fayetteville Public Library mostly open after rooftop fire.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not closing indefinitely. That's what you started with. So I was like, did it burn to the ground?
Maybe that's old news. Maybe it indefinitely was closed for, I don't know, a couple days. Sounds like it got the offices and some of the kids' library. How's
yeah,
it look?
It's not looking too...
Oh, yeah. That doesn't look major, but who knows? Who knows? Neither one of us are experienced firefighters or insurance adjusters, so...
No, we are not.
So that's our news for the week.
That's our news for the week.
And a breaking piece of news about our library burning.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and get into emails and voicemails.
Emails. You want to do emails first?
Sure.
All right, first one. Hello. I've never written in before, and to be honest, I didn't really think I ever would. No hate to you. I'm an avid listener and just didn't think this was my thing. Anyways, I'm a junior astrologer and read human design charts. I've studied Placidus astrology pretty diligently for about 3 years and human design for 2. I don't know what either one of these things are. Are you familiar with these?
Yeah, I'm pulling up my human design in case that's relevant.
Oh, okay. Are you familiar with Placidus astrology is?
No.
Oh, okay. I could imagine Matt possibly rolling his eyes, but stick with me. It's an ancient form of observational psychology based on math paired with space. It's at least a teensy bit interesting if you're not a, even if you're not a believer. Okay. Okay.
I love this stuff.
I'm opening my mind.
I love this stuff.
Every time you post a new podcast, I'm so bummed because I don't have your charts because you guys are both hilarious and insightful, and I really resonate with y'all's conversations. I love listening to you guys. If you're comfortable with providing your birth date, time, and place, I would love to email back readings and could include a mini version, like a paragraph or some bullet points, if you wanted to read something for the podcast. I'd love to see where this huge solar eclipse is happening for each of you, and would love to tell you about it.
Fascinating.
Okay.
Wait, okay, just on the podcast while we're talking about it, we can send, yes, we will send that over to you via email, but I am a manifester.
Ooh.
I am emotional authority, and I'm, my personality is 2-5, the reluctant hero.
You are a reluctant hero. I feel like you're an ambitious hero. Okay. Hi, Joe and Matt. I'm 23 and from Victoria, British Columbia. Love this little space on the internet that you've created. Podcasts always put a smile on my face. They were excited to listen to a listener voicemail from also from British Columbia and said they're going through something quite similar to the last listener and wanted to provide their Insta username so that person can reach out to them. So it's JES.S_M for the interested parties. As for the question, my boyfriend and I broke up at the beginning of March, and I admittedly took it relatively hard. We broke up because we had been doing long distance for a year and a half, and he didn't feel like we had the same connection we used to when we lived in the same city. It was a bummer, especially because I'm graduating in the end of this month and had planned to move to Vancouver so we could explore our relationship further. We currently have flights booked to Europe at the end of June as a graduation gift from my parents. I've been trying to give him his space. However, we currently don't have any accommodations booked at the moment, and I have not heard from him. Our flights leave in 2 months, and when we broke it off, we agreed we would go on the trip together, seeing as we were in a good place, and hope to be friends in the future. I have sent a fairly well-thought-out text that I believe is non-pressuring, but also to the point that we need to book our accommodation, and I'm starting to get a little bit stressed about it. My two questions for you. How do I go about getting an answer from him? For extra context, he lives in Vancouver, I live in Victoria, so going to chat with him in person is not feasible at the moment. I'm trying to not randomly call him to try and get an answer because he doesn't like getting random calls. I'm starting to get nervous about not having accommodation when we go to Europe.
You don't. You don't try to get a hold of him.
Solo trip. That's what you're suggesting.
Yeah, you plan it solo.
Also, I mean...
Also, I was also going to do that. You don't have to book... Oh, we were going very different directions. Even if they don't like to get random
calls, this is kind of an important call.
I disagree.
Well, okay. But... like them not liking to get random calls, you really shouldn't be a random call though, right?
But like to me, the fact that you have to think about, like, I'm like, screw him.
How about this? You text 10 minutes ahead and you go, I'm calling you in 10 minutes. Brace yourself. Then it's not random.
No, the thing is, like, if somebody had been treating me this way, I don't want them to go on my trip.
Valid.
Like, I don't want him to go on the trip with you. You go have a great trip. Also, don't stress about accommodations.
Yeah.
The thing I was going to say that I thought we were on the same page and we were not. Okay. Matt and I, last time we went to Europe, we had our very first night booked and that was it. And then we booked our hotels and made choices about where we were going to go as we traveled.
Yeah. We kind of let the Airbnb dice carry us across the continent.
It worked.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting do that because obviously like that's
for someone who's comfortable doing that. If you're not comfortable doing that and you're not traveling light enough to do that.
And on the back end, we knew people that lived there. So like if really
If worse came to worst.
It sounds wrong, right?
Everything sounds wrong now.
If worse came to worst.
We should not use this phrase anymore.
Okay, it's canceled. Anyway, we knew somebody that lived there. So all I'm saying is you have plenty of time to book accommodations. Don't stress out too much.
Yeah.
But I would just book stuff. Well, I guess if it's financially not feasible to do it on your own, it's a different situation. But... I'd be trying to go on the trip by myself.
Okay. Well, they had a second question.
Okay.
How would you suggest we go about managing being in Europe? We don't want to waste the money we've already spent, and I'm excited to be in Europe and travel with someone who I care a lot about and who I get along with very well. Well, then why can't you call him?
That's what I don't
like. You need to be able to call him.
Here's the deal. You got to waste money to make money.
If Bob Burgers has taught us anything, which it's Bob's Burgers, and I said it wrong because I can't talk today, but the immortal quote that we use from that show is, you got to waste money to make money.
I don't think
you're ever going to waste money traveling to Europe.
Something that I
like
really,
this.
Really hate is the idea of like, well, we don't want to waste money. It's like, but do you want to be miserable? Like
you're not a big sunk cost fallacy girly.
No, you're not catching me.
You love a sunk cost.
I don't love a sunken cost, but I'm not going to make myself miserable to try and justify it.
Yeah, you
do
have
you
a good understanding
mean?
Of sunk costs,
like,
though. You're like,
I'm thinking
it's
about
gone. The money's
if you
gone.
And I had broken up, but we already had a trip, I am planning for us to hook up and end up in a situationship the entire time we're in Europe.
Probably.
There's no way.
Or you're looking
you
for
and
a
I
way to
just,
rebook yeah. my ticket. For somebody else.
Right. There's no way you and I go together and it does
that.
Anything good for us.
Especially if they're not answering your calls.
Yeah.
See if your parents can rebook it.
100% or cancel it.
Yeah. You're still months out. I think that's, again, if you want to go Joe's route here, if that's what you're shooting for, then you should be able to call him.
Obviously, we don't understand the nuance of your situation. So maybe there are nuances that we don't understand that make this more relevant. But I think that if it's somebody that you're having a hard time getting in touch with or don't know how to talk to in order to book accommodations, why do you want to travel with them?
Truly.
And if the goal is that you're hoping to rekindle something, like, is that healthy? Would be my...
Yes.
Because
the worst.
I'm imagining you and I in that situation, and it would have absolutely rekindled something, and it would have absolutely been unhealthy and terrible.
Yeah. Yep. That's a fact. But I would have answered your calls and texts, so.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. If we had a trip scheduled, I would have at least addressed it in some fashion.
Yeah.
Because what is the alternative? You show up to the airport together, you got like seats.
Right.
What's going to happen here?
Right. Yeah, I hear you.
Again, also, I would look into seeing what the airline can do for you.
Getting
a name change on a ticket seems very manageable.
That would be such a problem for me.
Which part?
Going on a trip with you after we broke
up. It's not a great idea.
It would not go well.
For
even
us,
though, like, I there's never been a season where I don't care about you or like think that you're cool. But it would have, situationship's the only way I can think to define it. It would have been absolute
It
trouble.
Happened without a trip to Europe, so that trip to Europe definitely would have done it.
And it would have been way too early. Yes. Like, it would have been a problem.
Like, okay, we're going to live together for 2 weeks or something?
Yeah, it would have been
perfect.
Trouble. Anyway, okay.
All right, next email. I hope that was helpful. Hello, first off, love you guys and look forward to your podcast every week. I'm looking for some friendship advice. I have a friend who I was extremely close with in my 20s. We were close friends through college and continued to remain really close when a move took me across the country. I ended up moving back to my home state, currently living an hour away from this friend, and found out I was pregnant around the same time as the move. This friend was extremely supportive and excited during my pregnancy, but our relationship has changed significantly since the baby was born, now almost two. She visited us right after the baby was born, and then communication grew significantly worse in the weeks to follow. There was no checking in to see how myself or baby was doing. She grew a little upset during this time that I did not make her more of a priority. This friend was single, no kids, and I was in survival mode post-baby, working full-time and having minimal support during that first year postpartum. I do feel so bad that I was not able to fully be there for her that year, but life was extremely busy and my priority is my little family. Fast forward 2 years and she continues to not check in or ask about my son. Hasn't seen him in over a year, but she continues to message me. I received a FaceTime call recently where she spent most of the conversation talking about her life and her struggles. I understand she doesn't quite understand motherhood with not having kids of her own and that we are on just different paths and that I can't be there for her as much as I used to. I'm not sure how to proceed. It's so difficult with how much history we have to say goodbye to this friendship. Also note, I have mentioned my concerns to her and nothing seems to change.
You don't need advice. Just,
just an outlet.
Yeah. You just need an outlet. Like, there's no advice to be given there. Like, what you just explained is, I have a friend that I used to be close with. Our lives went in different directions, and it's not vibing. And so, create space and move forward. Like, you don't. You just don't.
Like it?
Yeah, you're not excited to do hard things, which is like creating the space, and that's totally valid.
Yeah.
I get that. And I think the other thing is, I think something that is tough about becoming a mom and having friends who are not moms is you have to create space for the fact that they are not going to understand.
Yeah.
Like you, if you want to maintain those relationships, some people might like do a good job and they're really good at putting themselves in other people's shoes. But unfortunately, I think that's more rare than not.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really hard for people to understand that having gone through it or having been around people going through it a lot.
Well, and I think it's hard to ask somebody about their kid if you don't know anything about kids. Yes. You don't know what to ask. You don't know what to be curious about. And I'm not justifying behavior. I totally understand to be like, so how is, you know, kid?
But especially if it's not an interest of theirs or not a phase of life they're in.
Right.
It's probably just not intuitive.
Right.
To go there. And it sounds like you communicate some still.
And it can also get hard to communicate. Like, I know that some of my friends that don't have kids currently or don't plan to have kids, like, our conversations can be tough because they don't know what to ask me about me. Mm-hmm. Because in those first couple of years, you don't have a ton of time to dedicate to yourself.
Yeah.
Especially I don't know. It's just a weird season. So I'd just say create space and give it time and, you know.
It sounds like they're going through stuff too. Mm-hmm. So, especially if you don't have time to be there for each other, like you've got your stuff, they've got their stuff. Sometimes it just has to be that.
Agreed.
And that advice doesn't feel good.
No, it does not. I would like to have better advice than that. Are we going to voicemail it?
You want to voicemail it?
Let's try it.
Oh, okay. You said that with the authority of somebody who...
Well, I have two. But one's a minute 30, and that always makes me nervous because it may just cut off. But okay, this is the first one, and it's not a minute 30.
Okay.
All right. Ready?
Hi, Matt and Joe. My name is Victoria. I was just listening to your most recent episode and for the voicemail that y'all were responding to. I also heard joking, and I thought it was a joking question, so I also got excited. But since it was not, I figured that I would leave my own question. This is one of my favorite questions to discuss. I hope it hasn't already been discussed on the podcast. I'm a relatively new listener, but I wanted to ask, do you think a hot dog is a sandwich? Please discuss. Would love to hear what you guys think about this. Bye.
Guys, we just got into this hardcore on a live on TikTok last week. This was such a good question.
Which this is just like an age-old like podcast trope, I feel like, for a conversation starter topic.
Oh, but it's brilliant. But really, I don't consider a hot dog a sandwich, but I can't tell, like, so the discussion that we got into is I was not going off of... If I'm fighting for what my definition of a sandwich is, I'm going off of vibes to start. And off just vibes, a hot dog is not a sandwich to me.
But vibes don't, like, vibes define can't something. Be rules.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, like, vibes can't be rules. That seems like a hard stance to take, but
rules
I think it's true.
Rules can't be vibes.
Yeah, like, they kind of are antithetical to me. Like, rules are rules. Vibes are like, yeah.
Right.
So... I think a hot dog is a sandwich. It's like meat on bread. I think it's that simple.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be meat.
Well, sure, but it is meat. Like it is filler on bread. Now, you may not like the form of that bread.
Okay, but what about like, is like a ravioli? Like, because isn't that like a carb?
Pasta. Oh, this is what we really got into on the live, guys, was what pasta was, what noodles were. What is the difference between pasta and noodles?
Everybody listening, I should do a TikTok or an Instagram story about this. But to you, what is pasta? Is pasta the...
To me, it's the dish.
It's the entire dish.
Yes,
to me,
like the noodles are a part of pasta.
Oh.
Like there's noodles in pasta.
See, that disgusts me. It's just so
and this is where we got on
wrong.
Live.
I can't even... Like, absolutely not.
What?
To me, the pasta is the noodle. Like, those are all different kinds of pasta. So
the fact you can't define it without the word noodles tells me everything I need to know.
No. All the different shapes and things are different forms of pasta.
Correct.
So you have noodles and you have penne and you have, like, those are all different kinds of pasta.
Yes. So you have dishes like penne alla vodka, which is a pasta dish.
Correct.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
But I mean, to me, the pasta is the entire dish, which I guess that's a dish, like, as far as words go. But, and then noodles are the individual pieces. But apparently noodles has something to do with, like, how they're made, like one's flour and one's egg or like something. I don't know.
We've completely skipped over the hot dog question, but we fought, man.
Yes.
We fought on this.
Yeah, because you couldn't give me a good reason on hot dog.
Not with each other.
So I just kind of went through it, and I was like, okay,
you don't have a stance. No, I actually, when you got done, I agreed with you that I do think that a hot dog is, in fact, a sandwich. I just don't like that.
Yeah.
Is a taco a sandwich? What about a gyro? A gyro is a sandwich.
Yes.
If a hot dog is a sandwich, a gyro is a sandwich.
I think a gyro is a sandwich.
If a hot dog's not a sandwich, then a gyro is not a sandwich either.
So if a hot dog's not a sandwich, what is it? Like, are we just giving hot dog its entire own category of foods? Like, I don't think that's
You're right. That seems absolutely chaotic behavior.
And then we got into corn dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's corn dogs not a sandwich?
Yeah, I don't think
because
so.
Because it's more like, because I think that if we call a corn dog a sandwich, then a chicken tender's also a sandwich.
It was just a way you were breading a hot dog. That's right. Yeah.
I don't think that that's a sandwich.
Yeah, it's a breaded hot dog.
Yeah.
And yes. Yeah. I wish we should have just recorded that. Maybe put it online. Because that was a really something.
Yeah. Well, somebody was really mad because I was calling spaghetti noodles, but not penne noodles. And they said they were all noodles.
Yes. I'm with that.
I completely disagree.
I just don't understand what you're even getting at.
Why is a pool noodle called a pool noodle? It's not a pool, you know? Like, if it was shaped like a penne pasta, it wouldn't be a pool noodle.
A pool penne?
Yeah.
You could call it that. Like, that's okay.
No.
People aren't suggesting that pool noodles are a dish.
Yeah, but like when you say something looks like a noodle, like I keep going back to the penne shape, but like same thing with like a bow tie or anything like that.
Yeah, it looks a like pasta. A noodle that you would put in some pasta.
No, that's so wrong. That
I think like in terms of words, it's wrong, but it feels right to me.
I think I made a lot of good points when we were talking about it.
I don't know. I think I was right when we were talking about it.
You always think you're right.
Uh-huh. That's how my brain works. All that to say, a hot dog is a sandwich.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Okay. Should we just cut the whole answer to just that?
No.
Hot dog is a sandwich. Next voicemail.
Why would we do that?
No, I don't know.
That was the best part of the podcast thus far. Like,
that's
the only time that we've been having a cohesive conversation, and you want to cut it down to 13 seconds?
Well, I think this podcast is really about us having two different conversations at the same time. There's a little something for everybody. It's just not the same thing, you know?
Is
that not what we're about here?
I love that you're about something. I support that.
That is really all you want. You want me to just be about something. You don't even care what at this point.
I've never cared about what.
Oh, okay.
I guess there are some limitations, and like I don't want it to be something like harmful.
Yes.
Or hateful.
Yeah.
But like those are really my only limits.
Got it. No violence, no hate crimes.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Have to say, but when I said anything and the way that you reacted made me feel like I really needed to put some.
Yeah, you don't want
to
give me that kind of room.
Yeah.
I say that as though I do anything.
Oh, well, okay. I have another voicemail. We'll see.
Hi, Joe and Matt. I am from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I have been following y'all along since about 2020. A little backstory. I'm 22 years old right now. And so I wanted to ask y'all a joking question. Matt, I also heard it joking on the last podcast. So my question is on TikTok, there's a trend, like that it's like a picture and it's like their parents at the age of 22 or maybe like 21, 20, whatever, roughly that age versus themselves as the child at 22. And it's like their parents got married at 20, 21, 22 versus the kid not knowing how to do some day-to-day life skills and like going to the doctors and things like that. So I was just kind of curious about y'all's thoughts and how y'all, like how when your parents got married and how it related to you. So this one was like, my mom got married at 22 and the daughter was texting her mom and had to go to the doctor's office by herself. And she's like, mom, what do I say? And mom was like, you just tell them your name. And she was like, no, 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 mom, I need a script.
Okay. That's really funny.
I feel that.
I have seen that trend. The one that I saw that made me laugh so hard was their parents at their wedding. They're like, my parents at their wedding at 24. And then it was this picture of her like flying through the air. And it was like, me in an adult gymnastics class at 26. And I was like, yeah, that checks out. Both of our parents got married older.
I was going to say, so I'm actually ahead of where my dad was.
Yeah. Not old by any means. My mom was 27. My mom was 27.
Yeah.
And my dad was 30. Well, actually he wasn't. It was the month before he turned 30.
Yeah, my dad was 32. My mom was 25.
Okay.
So, yeah. I guess my mom was ahead of me, but hey, I'm still a year ahead of my dad. And he didn't have me till he was 34. So,
yeah.
Look at that. Gotcha, dad.
Yeah, we just don't have a lot of that where, I don't know, our parents weren't crazy young. Even my grandparents weren't crazy young.
Especially not for back then.
No, my grandmother had my mom, like my grandma didn't get married until she was 21.
Yeah. My dad had three vehicles.
Which I guess now seems crazy young, but that was older for then.
Yeah.
Yeah, your dad did have a bunch of cars.
He lived by himself and he had a truck and he had a Porsche and he had a motorcycle, which tells you how much less expensive vehicles were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not like he was, what was he doing?
He wasn't an oil baron.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah, he was doing, I think, basically what he did for a long time. He was still doing high voltage substation work, which I'm sure paid well.
Would that be considered a blue collar?
Yeah, it's more of a trade.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what.
Skilled trade.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. I don't know anything about anything.
I mean,
one time Matt on his birthday electrocuted himself twice.
Speaking of skilled trades,
Matt wasn't very skilled.
Yeah. That was the point. I was an apprentice electrician. Yeah. So I can tell that story. So we were building an Academy Sports building. So those of you that know what it is, it's just a big sporting goods store, but we were doing the electrical for it. And so I was an apprentice. We were hanging lights up. So there was these wires hanging down like every, you know, 8, 10 feet, whatever it was. So we'd go up on a lift. We'd hook the light up, pop it into place, move to the next one. So we get, I don't know, 7, 8 lights down the row. We get to the last one in the row. We get up there. We bring the lift up. We're holding the light. And then the wire that's hanging down brushes me. And the plate I'm holding in my hand, I just like my whole arm involuntarily jerks and throws it. And I was like, okay, that wire is hot. I've been, you know, mildly electrocuted. Actually, I think electrocuted as a word might mean like you died. I'll double check that as a definition.
Shocked?
Yeah, I think it's more like it's shocked. The injury or killing of someone by electric shock. Yeah, so electric.
It's I guess still I was mildly electrocuted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I just saw
you were
once.
Still injured.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Yeah. For a short term. Anyway, so that's not the end of the story. I get shocked. So I bring the lift back down, go talk to my master electrician on the job. And I'm like, hey, I was working on this light, so it's not off. Can you turn it off? He's like, yep, no problem. Got it. Go over there. Go back to hang up the light. Now, I'm no dummy. I'm like, well, I should probably check to make sure this isn't still hot and we, you know, made a mistake.
And he's up there on the lift with someone.
Yeah, I'm there with, you know, another apprentice electrician. So wire's hanging down. I grab it and I go, well, it brushed my arm earlier. I can just brush my arm again and then, you know, I'll figure out if it's hot. I made a much better connection the second time. It was just a glancing connection the first time. The second time, it really got me. I was standing up, and then all of a sudden, I was like, you know, I fell to my knees on the cart. And the guy up there with me was dying laughing because he watched me grab a wire and poke myself in the arm with it and get shocked. So that was, I was like, okay, cool.
Didn't he say, I've never seen anybody do that before?
I mean, he probably hadn't. I don't know if he said that or not, but he was mainly just laughing hysterically, you know. So I go down, I'm like, hey, yeah, that was not off. And he's like, oh yeah, that's one of the emergency lights, which also means it runs at a higher voltage. So that was how I electrocuted myself twice on my 20th birthday. And my fillings hurt for, I don't know, the rest of the day. So that was cool. So don't use your body to test electricity, guys.
Your dad taught me how to do it safely.
Yeah, actually, yeah, he did tell me if you're going to use.
He said, don't recommend it.
He's like, don't use your body to test electricity. Electricity, dear Lord. I can't speak today.
Are you sure it
didn't
get you better?
I might have been hit by electricity today. It's, you know, you connect the wires across like your hand. So it goes through your hand, not through your arm, through your leg to ground.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, don't do that. But if the alternative is putting in that, you know, in your arm, don't do that.
Got it.
So.
Noted.
It's a pretty good lesson to end the podcast
for
on,
all
right?
the time. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Well, on that note, we'll be back next week.
Yeah,
Matt's gonna be more with it. I'm gonna be more with it.
Stay safe out there with electricity.
Oh my gosh! Don't refrigerate or electrocute yourself. Oh, okay. Bye. Love you guys. Bye.